Hey everyone, thanks for coming. My name is Stephanie Davis, and I cover the healthcare IT sector here at JP Morgan. It is my absolute pleasure to introduce Health Equity up next. So my top picks for the year, and we have the entire team here. We've got the CEO, John Kessler. He's our next speaker. Next to me, we have the CFO, Darcy Mott. In the audience, we've got the head of IR, Richard Putnam, and even the vice chairman and founder, Steve Neelman. So we have everyone. As a reminder, we'll be hosting a Q&A session after the presentation. It's in the Yorkshire room down the hall. We ask that you please silence your cell phones. And with that, John, I turn it over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Also, we have in the audience Ashley Dreher, our CTO, is hiding in the audience somewhere. If you find her, then that's good for you. Okay. Again, good afternoon, everyone. The disclosures we all know. Look, this is our third time round here at JPM, and we thought it would be useful and easy, by the way, to put up to start with kind of the promises we made at the time of our IPO. What we said at the time was that health equity was a group of individuals who had experience over the course of their careers at the intersection of consumer finance, technology, and healthcare, and that we had come together to make a real impact here at Health Equity at the consumer level. And to do that by creating a platform that millions of consumers could use to spend and save healthcare dollars wisely every day. And so far, so good. We promised you that we were coming into the market with momentum. We promised you that we were in a leadership position. We promised you that there was a level of sustainability to what we were doing. And we told you we would keep those promises. So looking back now, I don't know, 2.5, pushing 3 years from then, I sort of look at it quantitatively, and I want to start by saying we're not going to be the fanciest company you're going to see here. We're not going to be the glitziest company you're going to see here. Unlike the last presenter, I cannot say that we are trying, at least directly, to cure cancer, but we are making an effort to make the consumer's situation work and to make consumerism work in healthcare, and doing it in a tangible way, delivering real growth, real sustainability, real defensibility and lasting growth and visibility to that. And so before we kind of dive into the whole thing here, I want to start by making a little bit of news and announcing, as folks who follow the company know, we are very much on an annualized sales cycle. So our what for us is fiscal 17, the year that's ending, we're always sort of a year ahead, is coming to an end. And we're able to announce today where we stand in terms of our partner growth. This year, we grew our partner base. We refer to them as network partners. These are the large employers and health plans that help us ultimately reach our customers at the consumer level by 31%, up to a total of 671 partners. Back to sort of my theme of doing what we say, right? This is what we said we would do. We grew by roughly 150 partners 3 years ago. We grew by roughly 150 partners 2 years ago. We grew by 150 partners last year, and we have done it again this year. And what's good about that is this is the basis for growth in the future. In any given year, about 80% of our new accounts and new assets come from existing partners. But when we grow that base, we plant a new set of seeds that will be there for growth in the business over the long term. So going to do a little different than in the past. I'm going to introduce Darcy at this point to talk about the sort of economic drivers of the business, and then I'll come back and talk about our future.
Thank you, John. Some of you are familiar with the company, but we thought for those who may not be quite as familiar that we would just kind of take you through some really the economic drivers that drive our financial business model. The first thing for us, it all starts with an HSA once it's open, and then the dynamics that come with that. An HSA then, as people begin saving, that grows AUM, so that's another key element in driving our business model. Those HSAs, along with the AUM that comes with them, drives our revenue and then leads us to our adjusted EBITDA, which we track and measure and report on each quarter. Particularly within our revenue mix, since our IPO, there's been a slight change in the mix of that revenue, and a lot of it's been by design, and we've talked about this, but there's three components of revenue that come from each HSA. The first is captured in what we call our service revenue line. These are monthly account fees that are associated with an individual account. 2 years ago, right after our IPO, when we presented here, service revenue made up 52% of our total revenue. The custodial revenue made up 28%, and our interchange revenue made up 20% of that revenue. This year, year-to-date, through our third quarter, which ended in October, there's been a shift in that the service revenue is now down to 43% from 52% 2 years ago. Custodial revenue has gone from 28% up to 33%, and the interchange revenue has gone from 20% to 24%. We've talked about this each quarter, but we can expect that that will continue, and that's the which makes an HSA business more profitable for us as the balances grow. The custodial portion of the revenue generated by that HSA will grow, and the service revenue component, as we sell those out through our distribution channel and we offer them incentive to grow more accounts by getting a lower account fee. So they've done just what we've asked them to do. They've grown the number of accounts that we have with them, so their account fees go down, service revenue goes down, but at that same time, as the balances grow within those HSAs, then the custodial revenue grows. And so we like that model because, as you'll see from looking at the results here, those custodial revenue components are more profitable, and therefore our adjusted EBITDA has been growing at a pretty rapid rate, not only in the raw percentage numbers, but in the year-over-year growth rate. So that kind of is what really drives our revenue model and our earnings model for HealthEquity. We've been pleased with the results that we've had in the last few years since we've been public and hope to continue. With that, I'm going to turn it back over to John. He's going to talk about what really drives that.
So we've had a really good run. How many of you have an HSA? Raise a hand. So the cool thing is, more than half of you aren't raising your hand. I can't see that well, but still, I know that's true, right? And the potential of this company going forward starts with the place that Steve Neelman, our founder, started the business, and that is with health savings. Today, an HSA-qualified health plan is more than $2,000 a year cheaper than a comparable conventional plan. An individual can put almost $7,000 in tax-free and grow it tax-free into the HSA itself. And the average employer is contributing almost, well, getting close to $2,000 more into the account, right? So the result is what, over the course of the summer, our company friend and occasional spokesperson, Susie Orman, called a no-brainer. From the perspective of the consumer, from the perspective of the employer. Doesn't mean it's easy to do, but it's a no-brainer to get started. And for us as a business, what we've always liked about the HSA and health savings is it involves a permanent relationship, quite literally a relationship of trust between HealthEquity as an organization and our member, right? Our only customer at the end of all of this is that consumer. The only person who can fire us is a consumer. And that's a great place to be in terms of where we focus our investments and our time. Next slide, please. Where are HSAs headed? And let's take this opportunity to talk just for a second about the election and all of that, right? Say, HSAs, what we said back in June, long before the election, I'm not sure I could have even imagined what it's going to look like in June, but seems like a long time ago, was we tried to paint the picture of where we felt our industry was headed. And where we think it's headed is to a world where it is the norm that people have coverage, that coverage is reasonable and affordable, right? But they also have a health savings vehicle that is part of building up your funding for your regular health care expenses, both now and in retirement. And as an industry, if that happens, we're a business that can grow not only by, you know, can not only double or triple, but can grow 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times the current size, right? We can go from being an industry where people have 30 or 40 billion in assets under management to having 600 million to a trillion in assets under management. And we can expand further to the extent that the HSA concept is extended into places like Medicare. Now, fast forward to the election. I don't know any more than anyone else what will actually come out of the election, right? If I did, you know, I'd have skipped San Francisco and gone straight on to Vegas, right? But it's a tough crowd. But what I do know is we now have a legislature in both houses and a president that are focused on adopting and encouraging in Washington what is working in the private sector in the states. And one thing that absolutely is working is HSAs, right? It, again, not curing cancer, but controlling healthcare inflation, that we can do. Next slide, please. And health equity, relative to its competitors, will capture, and it's the lion-sized portion, right? And you can see that in these numbers. This is the most recent information we have about our growth relative to our largest competitors, right? Our numbers are bigger, right? Will we continue to grow at these rates? Of course not, right? Law of large numbers matters. But will we continue to beat the market? Absolutely. Next slide, please. And why is that? Because health equity uniquely within this business began with a vision, again, to Steve's credit and the team's credit, long before I showed up. I sort of feel like I'm new. I've only been doing this 8 years. That said that an HSA was not just a financial account, that what we were going to do as a business was we were going to truly support the consumer with data, with technology, and with service every hour of every day, right? Availability to help consumers with the real challenges that they face in these kinds of plans. And we do that with a platform that includes pipes to now roughly 1,500 different parties, right? Everything from telemedicine to PBMs to health plans, whether they're our competitors or our partners, right? And we use that information to help give our consumers more than they could ever expect from a bank or a financial services company or a retirement firm. We support them as they are trying to become healthcare consumers. And we support them by meeting them where they are. Whether, again, whether that's on the web, in our application, or on the phone. I'm just going to offer a comparison, right? How many of you called your spoke to your health insurance company on the phone in the last year, right? That's typical. I'm going to say maybe 1 in 20 of you, right? That's probably good because that call itself might have taken a while. But at Health Equity, last week, yeah, we took over 100,000 calls. We talked to 4% of our membership, 3% of our membership last week. Yeah? And that's just on the phone, not on the application. On a month-over-month basis, the average month, we interact with almost a quarter of our total membership. So a lot of what we're doing as an organization is using that interaction to add much more value than people could ever hope for, in whether that value is helping connect them to a tool that their employer is already paying for to identify low-cost meds, or on the other end of the spectrum, providing investment advice as to where to put those HSA dollars. Which is great. But first, you have to get the account to the consumer. And that is where our distribution model, which we have called from the beginning B2B2C, that's banker quality right there. Thank you. I'm here all week. Really comes in. So Health Equity today, now I can say today, works with almost 700 different partners, an army of health plan sales executives, local brokers, and let's not forget the folks from our large employers and their people around the country who are preaching the gospel of HSAs to our members and to smaller employers and so forth. And the result of having that distribution model is that over time we have been able to grow very rapidly without commensurate growth in our cost of customer acquisition. And the result is, unlike most companies in this sort of growth stage, instead of talking about the trade-offs between growth and profitability, we're talking about growth and profitability at the same time. And the best is yet to come, because over time, all of those new accounts mature. And as they mature, as Darcy was talking about, they become both better for our members. Our members build health savings, like it says on the logo. But in addition to that, they become even more profitable for us as a business. And you can see this if you look at our existing accounts that have had enough time to mature. So this is a comparison of our average account to our average account that invests and has been with us at least 5 years. Right? And as you can see, people can successfully build a balance. It's not just rich and poor. It's time and education. And the better we get at educating people, the more we invest in data and in our platform, the quicker we can get them there, the better. But they can get there, and the evidence is in our accounts that have been with us for this period of time. And as that happens, of course, they become, you know, from a margin perspective, you see that custodial revenue grow, as Darcy talked about. And in terms of where the business can go as well, we are still in the early innings. We will continue to have opportunities not only to grow our partner base, not only to penetrate our partners, which are still in only high teens penetrated, not only to grow balances, but also we'll continue to have competitive M&A opportunities, and of course, particularly with the new legislative environment, to open up to opportunities in areas like Medicare that are new to HSAs. And we're able to do that on an underlying platform of a business that is growing, that is stable, that is highly profitable. So I'll close. How many of these actually end early? I'll close with kind of, this is what we're really excited about, is that when we look at, and these numbers, we've had similar numbers since we went public, but the great thing is we've continued to grow so quickly that it's still true. It's still true that the bulk of our, you know, that 2-3% of our accounts are invested and 97-98% aren't. Well, why? Because there are so many new ones. Our average account remains less than 3 years old. Our average balance remains less than $2,000, right? It's still true that we're in a relatively low rate environment. And yes, rates are going to tick up, and there'll be benefit to that for us. But what we're calling an improved rate environment is still incredibly low, and we have had the good fortune of learning profitability and discipline in an environment where we cannot simply assume that we will gain profitability through spreads. So the way we look at that, and of course, as I just described, we continue to win new partners. So all of those are seeds for the future growth of the business. We expect to be here not only for the third time, but the 13th and the 30th, talking to you about how we're growing our business and helping consumers grow health savings, and excited to do it. So with that, I will say thank you and give you 4 whole minutes of your time.